This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And good Monday morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Tony D, Ron Culver in the morning. You know what, guys? We're all in this together. We are. We're all in this together. Let's look out for each other. I know it was a hard weekend. It was really a hard weekend, especially when you're used to this time of year being so special in the sports calendar. It wasn't just that, oh, maybe there was a couple of games on or something to watch that's competitive or whatnot. Oh, I'll watch a little golf or I'll watch a little NASCAR. This was Selection Sunday weekend. And this is when today we'll be, you know, we've got brackets printed out and we're going to be filling them out and we're organizing our office pools. And it was taken away. And it was hard. Like, Sunday night was hard because I had been waiting for a long time. I was scheduled to do the Selection Sunday show in Houston. Couldn't do that. But it's a tradition, right? One of the things, you know, our family is getting older, right? My son is going to be going off to college soon. My daughter's becoming kind of the aloof teenager. But every year my family does a fun little bracket. You know, we do a family bracket. Winner gets to choose dinner that I end up paying for anyway. But nevertheless, it doesn't matter. You know, you get a little bragging rights. And we didn't get to do that this year. And many of you probably did the same kind of thing. But you know what? The sports world isn't dead yet, right? I know people are looking at sports going, oh, sports is going to get resurrected. It's coming back. We just don't know when it's coming back. But it's going to come back. But never forget. The NFL continues to move along. Their year is going to start on Wednesday. Free agency is already going to be in full flux. We've got some signings by teams who are locking in a couple of their guys, especially Tennessee. I got Ryan Tannehill locked in. And don't forget, despite all of this doom and gloom, and it's a scary time, don't forget, Tom Brady news is just a couple of days away. That'll brighten us all up. That'll make us all happy. We'll figure out where Tom Brady is going to play. Right? Weren't we waiting for this anyway? But the NFL staying put and saying, look, we don't have to be around crowds. We need to do our business. We're just going to do our business the way we're doing it. Well, it's going to give us a little bit of something to move along with. But coming up, we did not get a bracket yesterday. But the NCAA had an idea. Their selection committee had an idea of what one would look like. They didn't give it to us. Should they have? And why? We'll talk about that coming up next. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we move along on a Monday, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you could be with us. Tony D, Ron Culver in the morning. And I know it's tough, I get it, but we got a lot on the plate today. Because the NFL ain't moving. Right, the NFL ain't moving anything, so they keep rolling. They got some news today. This portion of SB Nation Radio brought to you in part by Hims, the best choice for ED medication and men's wellness. Visit forhims.com/easy. That's forhims.com/easy. But before we get to all of the NFL stuff, because we got a new collective bargaining agreement and the Titans have made a decision on the quarterback, the NCAA did not release a bracket yesterday. No Selection Sunday, no Selection Sunday show. But there's an argument to be made that because we are a sports-starved culture, that maybe they should have. Maybe they should have all gotten together and the selection committee should have said, look, here's the 68 teams that would have made the tournament based on the information we have right now. I know we didn't have the conclusion of the SEC tournament or the Big Ten tournament or the Big 12 tournament or heck, any of these tournaments that are, you know, the major tournaments, but we do know the kind of idea that the bracket would have looked like. And just for fun, here's the way it would have played out. Here's what you would have had to deal with. Right? We don't know who would have won the Big Ten championship. That would have affected seeding. But as of right now, with the games in the books, here's what it would have looked like. And here's what it would look like for the women's tournament as well. Dave Gavitt, who came out and said, listen, we we decided not to do this. The selection committee for the men's had just barely started when it was all shut down in terms of kind of a conversation. Let's start putting the pieces in place. We'll obviously move some things around once the tournament games were completed by the weekend. But the women's committee hadn't even started. They hadn't even started putting together. But you know what? Sitting in a room, I think they could have come up with something. Now, do they, should they have owed us something? Should they have given a culture, a sports culture that is starved for news, starved for something to talk about, starved for some sort of normalcy? Should they have said, look, we're not playing the games, but here's what the games would have looked like? My argument would have been sure. I mean, I don't think you need to have locked it in. I don't think you need to have really made it so serious that you thought about this for days and days. But you know what? Throw something together. I think you had an idea of where you wanted the teams and who the number one seeds are. And it's okay to say, sure, the conference tournaments would have changed a lot of things. But you know what? We didn't have them. So based on what we know right now, here you go, guys. Enjoy. Here's the conclusion of the season. Here's how it would have played out. Here is how the 2019-2020 college basketball season would have wrapped up in terms of the tournament.
But wouldn't that have been a big tease?
Yes and no. There's the two sides of it, because it's a tease, but at the same time, this is why I think they should have. It feels as if the 2019-2020 basketball season was a waste of time. We got nothing out of it.
Yeah.
We didn't get any closure from it. Now, I know, listen, I get it when people are saying, well, look, if the NBA ends up canceling its whole season, it would have been the same way. Sure. All right. And that's no problem. But at least there's standings. And we could have said, well, the Lakers had the best team in the West. Milwaukee had the best team in the East. Here's how it would have played out at the conclusion of play. If it never comes back, if it doesn't come back ever and they just shut down the whole season, yeah, at least we have some sort of look at the season and go, well, this is how it played out. College basketball doesn't work that way until the selection committee. Until the selection committee says, we've taken all of the conferences, all of the teams, and this is what it would have looked at. Yes, it would have been a tease, but at the same time, I think most of us yesterday knew what we were missing. We didn't need to be reminded that college basketball was shut down. We knew college basketball was shut down. But there could have been some sort of reward for the teams. Not reward, but some sort of acknowledgement that Hofstra made the tournament, and this is what it would have looked like. And East Tennessee State made the tournament, and this is what it would have looked like. And the same with Liberty, and the same with anybody else that was going to go as a non-mid major. And instead, we got nothing. We got nothing. And I understand where Dick Gavitt's coming from. Look, why spend hours and hours and hours and hours debating for a tournament that didn't exist? And I kind of understand where he's coming from. But it would have been nice if they had thrown something together and said, hey, guys, congratulations. You would have been chosen for the NCAA tournament. All the teams in the, that were on the bubble, how did it exactly play out for you? Would you have made it? You would have made it. Now, yeah, if I'm a player, it would have stunk, especially if I'm at Indiana and I was on the bubble and I had some good wins. I got some good quad one wins and I was like, God, am I going to make it? And the committee said, yeah, you'll make it. You're like a 10 seed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been like, oh, are you kidding me?
You're one of the first four play-in.
Yeah. Oh, really? We would have gotten in? Oh, my gosh.
And at least, because the people I feel worst about, especially when it comes to college sports, are all the graduating seniors. That would have been something that they could have notched on their resume.
Sure.
So to speak.
Sure.
It's like, hey, you know what? We didn't get to play it, but I was part of a team that made the NCAA tournament. And that would have been something they could carry with them forever. Now there's always going to be that uncertainty.
Yeah. I thought it would have been cool to have one. I don't know. I wouldn't have done anything with it. I don't think I would have ever filled it out or anything silly like that. Because to me, if I filled out a bracket, I would want results to then coordinate with the picks in the bracket.
And then so. Thursday, Friday would have really stung.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's going to anyways. But it would, if we had a bracket, we were sitting there in front of it, would have been like, oh, what if? And then we would have been begging someone to just, for EA Sports to come out with a college basketball game just to simulate it for us.
I told my wife, I said, I want to stare. I want to go back. I want to go to that restaurant on Thursday and just watch like soap operas. I just want to eat my food, have my dessert, and just stare at the game shows slash soap operas, talk shows.
Yeah, you won't be able to watch game shows because game shows without an audience just ain't fun.
This ain't fun.
You can't do Price is Right.
Can't do Price is Right without everybody screaming the numbers in a confusing way.
Who are you going to come down?
23, 23, 16, 64, 18.
But you know what the weird thing is? I mean, you could what? You're going to be watching The Price is Right right now. You're going to be watching Wheel of Fortune. You're going to see full studio audiences. And then are we going to get to a point like midsummer where... Are we going to see empty audiences in Wolf? I mean, you can't do Price is Right because you can't have any Come On Down.
Right. No, yeah. Come On Down.
So, I mean, there's just got to be reruns at that point, right?
I would think so, yeah. That was the other thing, too. Did you notice how many sports were reruns, replay of...
Of course.
Networks didn't have anything to go on this weekend. Like, nothing. They were like, let's grab something out of the vault.
There was no time to prepare. I mean, right. I think this week and then heading into next weekend, we're going to have a lot more documentaries or sports story type segments. But, I mean, this weekend was like, we were supposed to just be showing baseball highlights and basketball highlights. We got nothing.
Your cable guide, the button, you know, the guide, they didn't update. It couldn't update fast enough. So it was like Big Ten tournament. You're like, no.
Are you sure? I thought that one was canceled. Let me check it out.
Let's check it again. Hope. Maybe I missed the news. Maybe they reversed course, threw it out there. It was PGA Tour this weekend, the Players' Championship. They aired last year's Players' Championship.
Yep.
It's like, oh, my goodness. No, listen, don't get me wrong. I like a classic game, you know, more than the next guy. You know, I don't mind that, like throwing on. To me, though, here's the thing. When you give me a classic game, look, I like games. Like, if you showed me an NFL fantastic finish, right? Like a Hail Mary or something. Or a college football game that ended in a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I don't need to see 59 minutes and 45 seconds of the whole game. I really just want the end.
We already know the ending. I just want the end.
I want the setup for the moment. Right. So I don't need to know what running play didn't work in the second quarter.
Like, you know what they haven't
done? I'm not going to sit through 3 hours of that.
What they haven't done in a while, because I remember I had this VHS tape, and I'm dating myself now. But I had a VHS tape, and I absolutely loved it because it was all about the the top 10 sports moments of the 80s.
Oh, nice.
But as they counted down 10 through 1, they also showed, like, oh, here's what else was going on. Here's some other great moments in sports during the 80s. And I was always looking out for one for the 90s. I was, you know, didn't get one. Looking out for one for the 2000s, didn't get one. I was like, you know what? Bring those back. Slap something like that together, because I'm, you know, all we have is nostalgia right now.
I have a friend of mine who still has a VCR kicking around his house, and he goes, "Why?" He goes, "Because I have all these games on tape." Like, he goes, back in the 80s, I taped all these football games. And he goes, I taped all these college football, because he's a big college football fan. So he taped all these Alabama games and all these games. And he goes, I just have them on VHS. And
he goes, how
am I going to watch them? I go, you can send those to a company and make a DVD out of them. And he goes, I know, but I just have the VCR. He goes, I just sometimes I break it out, I hook it up to my TV, and I watch old Alabama games. Like, that's what he was planning to do until sports came back.
That's too funny.
Was watch old Gene Stallings Alabama games, I guess, or Ray Perkins. I mean, I don't know what he's got, but that's what he was telling me. That's what he planned to do. He goes, I just got boxes full of these old games from the 80s that I taped when I was like a teenager.
Yeah, that's funny. I remember 15 years ago, I bought a VCR, right? Just because I had a bunch of home movies that I wanted to. I was putting together a birthday gift for my mom, who was turning 50.
Oh, yeah.
So I bought a VCR, and I remember going to Radio Shack. See, we're dating myself again.
Wow, look at you.
Went to a Radio Shack, bought a VCR for $40.
$40?
$40,
nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was the most expensive one they had. I was like, yeah. God, I remember when these were like $500 and you had to give up some blood and your first kin to even purchase this.
And I think those old games are great. Like, my father had the first Giants Super Bowl.
Yes.
Against the Broncos, Super Bowl 21. He had it on VHS tape, right?
That did go in his favor. I'm sorry. I was about to say, why did he say that? But no,
he saved it, and he had it for years. But what was really cool about it, and I think he did convert it to DVD, but one of the things that was cool about it was it wasn't the game itself, because you can watch highlights of that. It was the commercials.
right? Yes. It's like a McDonald's commercial from the 80s, and it's like a Budweiser commercial from the 80s, and it was neat. The technology of the game, the way the game, like the Chirons were on, and just the stuff you miss from a normal football game. Like, you watch football today, what it didn't have back in 87 when the Giants played the Broncos in Pasadena. Like,
or
just
the oversized graphics.
Right, the oversized graphics.
Took out the entire screen.
It was really cool. Like, it was really cool to just go, like, you're literally going in a time machine. It's not watching highlights. It's not watching cuts. It's not watching an abbreviated version. But you were like, you'd cut away and then be some cool, you know, like I said, fast food commercial or a Budweiser commercial or a car commercial, this Cadillac or whatever, starting at $10,900 or something like that from like 1987. And you're like, wow, that's nuts. Or computers and things like that. It was kind of fun to sort of watch it be in a time machine. All right. Coming up next, as we continue along, the Titans got their man. But it's not the man many thought they were going to get. We'll talk about that next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, say big during the O'Reilly Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Days Sale with great deals on socket sets, wrenches, and more. And if you're do-it-yourselfer, you need the right tools for the job, and this is your opportunity. Right now, get a 57-piece quarter-inch drive ratchet, socket, and bit set, just $24.99, plus double O-Rewards points, which means you'll get to your next reward even faster. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So what a move by the Tennessee Titans. They took Ryan Tannehill, cast off of the Miami Dolphins, stuck him in a lost season, quote unquote, after Marcus Mariota just could not get the offense rolling. They got shut out by the Denver Broncos in week 6. So they throw in Ryan Tannehill because, you know, why not? Why not see what we got in a season that's going nowhere? And what did he do? He went 7-3 to close out the season, led them to the playoffs, and then beat Tom Brady and the Patriots and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and lost in the AFC title game. He had numbers that were out of this world for a 30-year-old quarterback, a 31-year-old quarterback, a passer rating of 117.5, yards per attempt at 9.6. He was ninth in QBR at 62.2. He had 2,700 yards passing in 11 games, 249 yards per on average, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. The numbers were incredible, and nothing in his career He had done even close to something like that with the Dolphins, and just took the Titans team, got them to the playoffs, did great things in the playoffs, had everybody buzzing. City was on fire for Tennessee football. It was great. It was great. So what did they do? They rewarded him with a $116 million contract over 4 years. It averages close to $30 million per season. With guarantees that could reach $91 million in total if he hits certain numbers. 62 of it is already guaranteed. This is a franchise quarterback contract that they gave Ryan Tannehill. This is their guy. Now, again, I'm going to repeat this because I repeat this every time because I know there's some of you that are new to the show. We get bogged down in these eye-popping numbers sometimes and we go, well, is it worth it? And it's worth it only because when you find a guy that you like, you lock him in for the money. The money's there in the salary cap to pay a quarterback $30 million a year. Sure, you can save a little money if you pay him 27. Sure, you can save a lot more money if you paid him 25. But you're not going to lose out on other players within the cap if you pay your quarterback $30 million a year. You should pay your quarterback $30 million a year if you like him. It's what the going rate is. If you got a guy that can lead you to the postseason, you pay him $30 million a year. Again, it's not crippling. It's not anything like that. Except when your quarterback isn't your guy anymore. And that's what I worry about with this deal. This isn't giving Aaron Rodgers an extension of $30 million plus a year, $35 million a year, or Russell Westbrook, or Roethlisberger, or anybody else. This is giving Ryan Tannehill franchise quarterback level money. I know, look, it's not superstar money, all right? $30 million is not $35, all right? But it is a really, really good contract for a 31, going to be 32 this summer quarterback. But it also begs the question, what about Tom Brady? The Titans were in the running for Tom Brady. He was one of the teams that was put there. Now, maybe it was speculation on our part, and I mean the media, by looking at all of the possible landing spots and just coming up with a couple of things that seemed to work out in Brady's favor going to Nashville. Mike Vrabel was a friend. They'd have a strong running game once Derrick Henry was locked in via franchise tag or contract extension. They have a pretty good offensive line. They have dynamic young wide receivers that he could throw to. They got a pretty good defense that could keep the games in check. Right? A division that seems winnable when you look around. I mean, Houston's probably their biggest competition. Jacksonville's kind of a disaster. Indianapolis doesn't really have a quarterback yet. So there's a lot of things that were attractive for Tom Brady to go to Nashville and play for the Titans. And now that might have been a creation on our part. You know, Brady's camp may never have given any indication to anybody, privately, really close friends, anybody in the know, that the Titans were in the running. But he's no longer in the running. He is not going to be playing for the Tennessee Titans. And if you're the Titans, this is a bold step. Because again, as I said last week, your contracts are not for what you did. Your contracts are for what you're going to do. What you did gives them an indication of what you should be doing, and you are getting paid accordingly. The Titans aren't rewarding Tannehill for getting him to the playoffs last year in as much as they are saying, okay, do it again and for the next 4 years. We're going to give you this money because we liked what we saw. You better be doing it again. What if he can't? What if this is the Nick Foles crippling contract for the Titans where he doesn't produce? Where he does not do the same. These numbers are astronomical for a quarterback that's never done this before. So it does bring up the question, is this an outlier to his career, or has he turned a corner with Arthur Smith as his offensive coordinator and said, you know what? I now found my groove. I found what I can do. I know what I can do. I've got a good run. I don't have to throw the ball 35 times a game. I just got to be careful with the football. Six interceptions, oh, that's for 12 games? That's great. Right? That's fantastic. But it's not normal. That expectation, I wouldn't want that expectation if I was a quarterback in this league. And listen, I mean, you're going up against the best defensive players on the planet. And you know what? These defensive players watch everything you do on tape. Now they're gonna really know your tendencies. They're gonna really look to see where you throw the ball, how you read defenses. Maybe you're giving away or signaling where you're heading with the football. They're gonna pick up on all those. The more Ryan Tannehill's successful, the more he's gonna be scrutinized and taken care of by the defensive side of the ball. You think he's gonna throw just six interceptions in the first 10, 12 games of 2020? That's crazy. But this is a big contract because, again, the Titans need to find out where they're going to go with that position. All right, so what if they didn't lock him up? What if he did go on the open market? What if he did find a team that was willing to pay him the kind of money Tennessee wasn't going to pay him? Well, then you better land Tom Brady. Are you going to be stuck with Marcus Mariota again? And if you don't want to be stuck with Marcus Mariota again, guess what? There's nothing there. That cupboard is big. You're going to be chasing Phillip Rivers around? What would you do? So again, I know we get, and again, this is just something I've been saying over and over again. We tend to look at these contracts, sometimes our eyes pop, and we go, wow, really? Wow. For him? You gotta be crazy. 1 year? Just one really good year? Not even a full season. Like one outlier for what we've known him to be in his NFL career. But the reality of it is, what are the options? But there are no options.
And that's what we've been saying all along, is that there's only 32 of these guys.
Right? That's it.
That's it.
If you know you can't get Brady, if Vrabel felt like, I'll tell you right now, if Vrabel felt like he could have landed Brady, they would be pursuing him.
Of course.
But I think Vrabel got some sort of signal. Look, he told John Robinson, the general manager, lock up our guy. Make that deal. I can tell you right now, Tom ain't coming here. Now, tampering, I don't know anything about that nonsense. But I'm saying if there was a feeling like they could have gotten Brady for the couple of years, they probably would have. They feel like Ryan Tannehill. I mean, again, the Miami Dolphin, Ryan, cast off Ryan Tannehill, Miami Dolphin. But we've seen guys find the right offensive coordinator, find the right system, find the right team. We've seen careers resurrected that were in the toilet, and then the right person comes along, and maybe this is Ryan Tannehill. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, again, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. And I know, it was a tough weekend. It really was.
It's a weird week. It was just a weird weekend.
Very weird weekend.
Yesterday during the day, you know, family, they're all, like, kids are upstairs playing video games. My wife is with our youngest, you know, trying to put him down for a nap. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, you know what? This is usually when I watch anything. Then yeah. There's just nothing to watch.
Nothing to watch.
Watching old movies again. And I'm like, I'm not in the movie watching mood yet. Maybe I will be given a week because there won't be anything on, but...
I watched yesterday that movie about the Beatles.
Okay.
I did. I liked it. It was not as good as I thought it was going to be, but it was good. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I thought the movie was going would go in one direction. The premise of the movie is great.
Yeah.
But I thought it was going to be heading in a certain direction when I first started watching it, and then it kind of doesn't go there, and I'm like, oh, okay, I would have written it that way, but I'm not. Who am I? Who am I to judge the Hollywood writers? But it ended up being pretty good.
No, we did in our household over the weekend. Since I took an extra day for actually, I planned on spending spring break with the kids, and you know they have an additional spring break now.
Yeah,
but we set up a tent in the backyard.
Oh,
and so we did some backyard camping, went out and bought a little fire pit, and so we can roast some or make some s'mores. And I can tell you this, that the s'more joke is starting to get old.
Oh, yeah.
Starting to get old. You know, one of my kids just kind of butchered it to death.
Yeah, that's what happens with kids.
Yeah.
Kids you want a s'more? Jokes.
S'more of what, Dad?
You got it. Oh, my wife and I, my daughter's still at basketball practice for her team, and we were really surprised by that.
I got it. Okay.
And so she went to, we dropped her off, and then my wife and I had an hour and a half to kill. So we were like, all right, well, I said, let's go get some ice cream. So there was a Baskin and Robbins. We walked in, and I was looking at all the flavors, and I said, oh, that looks really good. I said, maybe I should get a sample. And my wife goes, no, they're not doing that anymore.
What?
I go, what? I looked at her. I said, why? She goes, that was a sign. You missed the sign over there. Sure enough, there was a sign that said, we're not giving away samples.
Why not?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the point of going to Baskin
Robbins. You just take a small spoon. It's not like you take the spoon, then I eat it, then you use the spoon for an.
Yeah.
You give me the spoon and I throw it away.
And I toss it. That little tiny plastic pink spoon.
I was like, what are we doing here?
Come on.
I was now double chocolate delight, I don't get to know how that tastes before I put it on a cone? Right? Or, you know?
Like, what if I don't like it?
Or mango madness? I mean, what if I really want it? I have to. I mean, that's a gamble I'm not willing to take.
Seriously,
that's a whole cone. What if mango madness isn't really the madness I thought it was going to be?
I know it tastes good at first, but then you get that weird aftertaste.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
Stinks.
I don't want that in ice cream.
No, I'm like ugh.
No, okay, but you're
I went with the old staple.
So your daughter had practice.
Yeah.
Your daughter had practice. You know, everything's kind of shut down right now. But I asked, because I coach my son's soccer team, my middle son's soccer team. And I put it to the parents. I said, parents, I said, I'm going to leave it up to you. This is going to be a team decision. Because, you know, we...
That's very good leadership of you.
Of course it is. But I'm wanting to gauge where the parents' responses are. And I asked them, I said, you know... We're scheduled to have practice on Wednesday. I said, do you guys want to move forward with practice on Wednesday? It's outdoors. You know, if you're sick, please don't come. And I was surprised, overwhelmingly, a lot of the parents were like, yes.
Yeah, sure.
We want normalcy for our kids. And I'm
no,
like, you know
of
what?
Course.
I get that. I get it. You know, I mean, if, you know, with my son's baseball team, he's wanting to hold practice. He wants to hold one practice indoors at a batting cage and another practice outdoors. And I'm like, you know, the indoor one, I'm a little iffy on. Just because, you know, I don't know. There's so many people going in and out of that place, and, you know, it gets overly crowded at times.
Yeah.
But outdoors on an open field, I'm like, well, you know, that's, yeah. Yeah, I mean, these, you know, we got to keep something normal for these kids.
Well, here's the thing, right? We when it comes to the sports world, I keep wondering when these things are going to come back. When we got the news the Masters was postponing its tournament, my first thought was, you're not postponing anything. You're canceling this.
Yeah, because where are you going to find
done.
Time?
Where are you going to put it in the schedule? Like, so where are you going to put it? Now, you're the Masters. You can put it anywhere you want and force all the other tournaments to shut down, and yep. you don't need to care, right? You're the Masters. If you put it on the same time as the, you know, Houston Open, yeah, too bad for the Houston Open, right?
Exactly.
That's too bad. But at the same time, here's the thing. The Masters is very particular. Okay, Augusta National. A lot of people don't know this. Augusta National closes for the summer. It's a closed course. You don't play it. It's beautiful because they reseed it, and then it grows and it becomes this lush grass by the time we hit the spring. But then in the summer, when it's dry, when it's hot, not dry, but hot in Georgia,
yep.
the course doesn't have its same look. The Masters is very particular about its look. It's more concerned about its look than the tournament. They know they'll have another tournament, and the course is not beholden to the revenue of the tournament. They don't need it. I mean, some of the most wealthy people in America are members of this golf course.
And some of the most wealthy people can't become members.
Right. Exactly.
So I mean, they have so much wealth. They're so completely fine that they don't allow people to fund them.
Exactly.
Where most country clubs are like, you want to join? Come on in.
Oh, come on in, please. We need the revenue.
Right here.
In fact, there's an old adage that the quickest way not to be a member at Augusta National is to ask to be a member of Augusta National. So let's say you're some hedge fund manager and you're like, I want to be a member at Augusta National, and you inquire, you ain't getting in. You have to kind of be asked. Somebody has to kind of approach you. You have to kind of process it all. You're like, okay, let me think about it. Okay, yeah, I'd like to do it. That's kind of the snobbery of the course. But the reality is that they like the azaleas in bloom. They like the green, lush grass. They like it looking like paradise on earth, right? They don't want it to be brown and, you know, whatever. And I can guarantee you that they would say, look, you know what? We've given it a couple of weeks. We tried to figure out a way to put it in April sometime. You know, nah, we're out. We're done. And we'll see you next year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did it. And I keep thinking to myself, okay, with all these leagues, NBA, NHL, Major League Soccer, Major League Baseball, what are they waiting for in terms of getting things right? Are they waiting for a government official to say all clear? And if who's the government official that says all clear? Who's the government guy that says, all right, everybody can get back to normal again. It's good. It's all good. Like, who's going to be responsible for that? We might be hunkering down for a while. I mean, it could be a real long time.
Yeah. I mean, because you're absolutely right. Who wants to be the first?
Right. Who's going to say we've gotten this, we've flattened the curve, and everything's fine, and now you can gather.
We peaked, we're on the downhill.
Yep, everything seems to be normal.
I guess, are you waiting for the CDC to come out and say something?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're announcing today, gatherings of 50 people or more should be prohibited.
And exactly.
So I'm thinking, okay, well, there goes a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of businesses. I guess you got to be one of the first 50 to show up to work.
And look, God bless the NFL for saying, look, we're not gathering. All right, we're doing business. And a lot of this business is by phone. A lot of this business is by, you know, fax, email, whatever it is.
They can't still do fax, Tony.
Right? Well, I think there's some faxes.
We can't allow that in this day and age.
Oh my God, I used fax the other day.
I know. But come on.
No, I had to fax. I was faxing some stuff the other day. You know, we still use fax.
One line at a time.
All right, whatever it is, it's the NFL is still doing business. And that to me is important because I think the NFL is saying, look, we can still operate. We're not shutting anything down because we don't have to shut anything down. Look, the draft, I was saying this on Friday, the draft is a gathering of fans, but it doesn't have to be that.
No.
It does not have to be that. It wasn't that for a long time. So when they say, well, we might delay the draft, you may delay the draft only because you want it to still be the television spectacular and fan interaction that you've made it. But if you still want to hold the draft at the end of April and doing it like the old days, do it like the old days.
Yep. I mean,
sit
honestly,
around with phones and a guy in a podium in a conference room in New York. Do it that way.
You could have it now. I guess the only thing that's stopping you is maybe you don't have all the information you need on players. Because, you know,
you can't see them in pro days and all
no
that.
There's no pro days or anything like that. So someone like Tua Tagovailoa, I mean, now you're really just basing it off of what we think could happen.
Sure. That makes sense.
Because he can't do it. So that's the only reason why you would delay the draft. But, I mean, if you wanted to, you had the combine. You could do it now.
But if you delay the draft, how do you not delay everything else?
Like, yeah, you got to push everything back.
So everything becomes, because now you got to negotiate with the players, then you've got the first, you know, rookie camp, and then you've got the first OTAs. And then, so everything's got to be kind of either condensed really quickly or spread out. And so, I mean, to me, look, I would have loved to have seen what Vegas would have done with this. Loved it. I mean, loved it. Having lived there for 3 years, I know nobody puts on a show better than Vegas. But you don't need it.
No.
You don't need it. So.
And here's the thing. The next one's supposed to be in Green Bay, right? Could they push?
I believe so, yeah.
If they cancel the draft this year, could they push off Green Bay and say, hey, you guys will get it the following, we're going to give it back to Vegas next year?
I mean, the
NFL could do that,
sure,
right?
They could do that. They could say, look, what have you planned so far? Put a hold on it and do it in 2022.
Yeah.
2021's going back to Vegas. Right? Because we'll just move everything up. I'm sure there isn't some committee going, oh my God, we've already planned road closures. What do you want us to do with that? Okay. We've already have an idea of what our stage will look like. Okay, put it on hold.
We already rented the concert hall. We can't get our deposit back.
Exactly. So again, I mean, I like this. I know there was an article today I saw where they said, oh, the NFL should follow suit and shut down business. Tell me why. Tell me why they should shut down business. Tell me why. I agree with what you said. The pro days, all of that, whatever. But if you're a free agent, why should free agency take a back seat to this?
You're not getting any more tape?
What are you talking about? Right, like the Calais Campbell got traded from Jacksonville to Baltimore. Tell me how that was a gathering of 50 people to make that deal happen.
Because, Tony, coronavirus does transmit through fax.
I guess so.
That's what you got to be on the lookout for. When you get those fax sheets, you know, make sure you sterilize them first.
You got to remember, do you remember this from a while ago? Elvis Dumervil of the Broncos, he ended up a Raven because John Elway didn't fax over something in time. Remember that? Like, and then because he didn't fax over something in time, Dumervil essentially became an unrestricted free agent and got a better deal from the Ravens.
And it was all because the paper went in sideways.
Right.
It got all crinkled up, so they had to retype it, you know, do the whole thing over again. And you just lose time.
That's right.
Email. Email's the best.
Remember that sound that fax machine would make, like an old modem? I know I'm just ruining people's radio dials right now, but that's the way it's crazy. That was crazy. But yeah, you know what? It's amazing. I'm glad the NFL is going to still continue. I don't know if that's going to be tomorrow. I mean, I could come back tomorrow and go, oh, well, I guess they're shut down too. All right, I guess they're shutting down all their offseason programs. But it's still making news. So again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, please. Let us know your thoughts. What are you doing to occupy your time during coronavirus isolation? But coming up, do we have to thank Rudy Gobert for all of this? Next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So we got a Rudy Gobert update?
Yep.
All right, let's go. Let's go with the Rudy Gobert update.
I'm going to start by saying thank you to all the people that have been supportive and for all the positive energy. It really means a lot. As for myself, I've been feeling a little better every single day thanks to the healthcare people of Utah and Oklahoma City and all the great people around me. As you may already know, I just wanted to make sure to remind you guys to keep washing your hands frequently with soap and water. Try to avoid touching your face, your nose, your eyes, and of course try to avoid making unnecessary contact with people. It's all about protecting yourself and the people around you. I wish I would have took this thing more seriously, and I hope everyone else going to do so, because we can do it together. Take care and stay safe.
All right, now here's the thing about Rudy Gobert. He has been treated as if he is patient zero for the sports world.
Yeah.
We have no idea how he got it. We don't know. We now know there's some other NBA players have it. Donovan Mitchell has it, right? Detroit Piston player has it. But we don't know if they gave it to him and he got it from them, whatever. Here's the thing. Rudy Gobert set all of this in motion. Everything that got shut down, he was the domino. Because he was the worst fear of every single executive that was in charge of the sport in which they govern. He was every single person's fear. He was he was the fear of every MLS general manager, Major League Baseball general manager, NCAA executive, everybody. He was their fear. And when the NBA acted like it did on Wednesday night, that's the domino. Now, Nancy Armour at USA Today writes that, look, in the end, he did a public service by being immature. Now, granted, look, I hated the fact that he was that immature. He was that careless with it. Only, though, after the fact. Because I wonder if I get it. Can you look back on things I did that may go, well, you were really careless acting the way you did? Gobert defiantly acted in a way of saying, this is no big deal. Why are we making a big deal about this? Only, as you heard in that piece, to be contrite, saying it is a big deal. But because he acted the way he did, it reminded all the executives around sports that there are plenty of Rudy Goberts in their own midst. And if they didn't stop these sports, it could have spread to all of these other players, coaches, trainers, and even fans. So, again, did he do us a favor by acting immature? I guess that's one way to look at it. I mean, I wish he wasn't immature to begin with, but he was the domino that toppled all of this down.